with a broken heart. You pick me up, now I'm set apart. Tell me yes, I am born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more than words could say. I'll follow your love for all my days. Fix my eyes, follow in your ways. Forever free and amazing grace. Cause you are, you are, you are my freedom. We lift you higher, lift you higher. Your love, your love, your love never ending. Oh, oh, oh. You are
morning. You guys can have a seat if you're standing. My name is Emily, and I'm excited to welcome you this morning to The Well. It's going to be a really great day. We're in kind of the middle of our series called Outward, where we're talking about redefining relationships and thinking about what would it be like if we looked outside ourselves when it comes to relationships, and how would that change the way that we deal with those. So today we're going to be talking about sibling relationships, and it's going to be a really great day. To go along with that, every week we've been giving out a card, kind of a half sheet of paper, and it has some written prayers that other people have written on the back of it that kind of pertain to whatever the relationship is we're talking about. That so hopefully as you came in today with your bulletin, you got this sheet, and it has a lot of prayers that you can pray about your relationship with your siblings or about your kids or what, however you guys want to use those. We hope you'll get one and take one with you. If you miss a card from a previous week, we should have some in the back in the lobby, and if not, let me know and I'll get you one. Hopefully also when you got that, you got a bulletin. It looks like this. And inside the bulletin, there's some information about the things that are happening in the life of our church. The Well's a service of First United Methodist Church here in Long Beach, and inside here, you'll find some ways you can get involved. Also, there's a card you can fill out and drop it in the offering baskets or drop it out in the lobby if you want more information about who we are. One thing I want to draw your attention to is that this afternoon, if you were a volunteer for VBS, you can come to a meeting where we're going to talk about what went great at this past summer's VBS and what we can look forward to for next year. So we'd love to have some input on that. The other thing that's big in the bulletin is called Pathways of Hope. And there's some little cards out here if this sounds interesting, out in the lobby, if this sounds interesting to you to grab one. This is going to be a series of free workshops that our church offers in the month of September about things like mental illness, addiction, personal finances, some different topics, and there's more information about that out in the lobby on these little cards. So hopefully you guys will grab one of those. Now, for the past few weeks, I was telling you about an event coming up called Fam Jam, and it happened last Saturday. Did anybody go to Fam Jam? Did you love it? Like, I promise it was awesome. You guys loved it, right? Well, no, not everybody could come, so we're going to show you the highlights on a video now, if you guys will turn your attention to the screens. So Fam Jam was totally awesome. Where else can you go? And there's like donuts and toilet paper and I don't know what other kinds of crazy fun games. It was so awesome. And we're so glad that so many of you guys could come and have a great time. Things like this are stuff that our church supports throughout the year for our families and our community. It was so awesome. And thank you guys for supporting this event and for coming if you were able to do that. And then next year, now that you saw how fun it is, you'll want to totally be there next year, right? I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we'll stand up and tell one another good morning. So you guys pray with me? So God, this morning we come to you, and we just want to lift up this day to you. God, we know that you're here before us, that you want to be with us this morning, God, that you want to fill us with your presence. And I just pray that we'd open ourselves up to that today, that whatever space we find ourselves when we come in the door, whether it was a great attitude this morning, whether it was kind of like, oh, I guess I'll go, God, that you'll take those attitudes and you'll turn them around, that, God, that you might meet us where we're at, and God, that you might speak to us in a way that we can understand and that we know it's from you. And so, God, just this in this time together, I pray that we'd be able to praise your name, that we'd be able to lift you up, but God, also that we'd be able to feel your presence with us today. We're so grateful to get to be here. We're grateful for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you guys will stand up and tell one another good morning, and glad to see you.
Good morning, glad to see you. Good morning, glad to see you. We help Benji get to his right spot.
Thank you. if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. But when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus, it drove me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all my sin. Of when justice was served, and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Yes, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Can have a seat real fast. And Dabs, do you mind to bring the lights up for just a second? Excuse me. My voice is not doing real well, but it's going to be okay. First of all, this is a time in our service where we move toward giving our offering. And we believe that everything we have, those of us who follow Jesus and call the well or First Methodist Church our home, we believe that everything we have is a gift from God, and we are called to be stewards and caretakers of that and to use it to honor God. And so in this part of our service, we give back to God, and we trust as a way of saying thanks for God taking care of us, but also as a way for us to invest and to give back so that God can continue to move the kingdom forward through us. And so we prepare our hearts to do that. But before we move to that exactly, I want to I'm going to pick on Caitlin for just a second. Caitlin is moving to USM, right? if you can't tell. And so she has been so incredibly faithful with us in our worship team. And so we are going to miss you, but we are so proud of you. And we're so excited about this next chapter in your life. And we are excited that we still get to be a part of it at some level because we trust you're going to come back. And so we thank you for giving us the gift of music and sharing that with us. So don't cry. Yeah. Caitlin's not the only one moving into dormitories this weekend. As many of you parents have already expressed your excitement about carrying boxes upstairs and downstairs and all that. And so we also want the rest of you to know, those of you who have already moved in or are still moving in, moms and dads, we're praying for you because we know that's physically that is no fun, but also emotionally it's a new chapter. But also for you students, we're so excited about what God's going to do in your life in the days ahead and in the weeks this semester. And we just pray incredible blessings over you. We also, as a father myself, I want to encourage you to find a place to connect when you get on campus, whether that's in a campus ministry like the Wesley Foundation or at a local church. There are people in other areas that are as almost as nice as the people here. And so we encourage you to engage with others because life was never meant to be lived alone. As we pray for our offering, I also want to pray for Jennifer. Many of you know that Jennifer has battled for a long time Crohn's disease in many nasty ways, and we are astonished by your, I see your strength and the way that you battle day by day, and so I'm grateful to be able to witness your willingness to persevere, but also to be willing to praise God in the midst of that, and so we're grateful for you. I also want to invite you all to pray with me because Jennifer's going to go in for a surgery on Wednesday, I believe, to try to do some corrective measures, but also with every surgery, there's a risk. And so I invite your prayers of protection over Jennifer, prayers of strength and perseverance for her family as they walk by her side. And if there's ways that you see you want to love and support them, you can certainly get in touch with us or with them directly and find ways that you can help them out. Because we know this is not going to be an easy process, especially the recovery. And so I want to pray over you, and I invite any of the rest of you who want to extend a hand out and pray for Jennifer. And as part of that, we're also going to invite God to bless what we bring to the table through our offerings, but also through our lives. And so let's pray. God, we're grateful for your grace that is always sufficient. It is powerful even in the midst of our weakness. God, we know that you are the great physician. You're the great healer. We've seen that in your son, Jesus. We know that through his stripes, we are made whole. And so I ask right now that by the power and the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would already be at work within the hands of the doctors and the nurses, that will give her care. I pray that you'd be with her family, that you would give them strength and courage to face the future unafraid, and for her too, God, that you would still her heart, that she would be reminded constantly of your presence, and that she would know that you're never far from her. God, we pray above all things, God, that you're honored in this. We would love to see her body healed in the fullness, and we trust you're able. Most of all, God, we're grateful that you love us despite ourselves, despite our brokenness, despite our infirmities. And so I pray that love would rain down and bring healing and wholeness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We ask, God, that you would take the gift of this healing, the gift of Jennifer's gift of music, the gift of her love and compassion for other people, her love for her family, and these gifts that we offer on your behalf today, that you would bless them and expand them multiple times over again, that the world would know who you are through the gifts we bring. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I did not lift them up.
For singing along with us. You guys can have a seat if you're standing, and we'd love at this time to invite all of our kids who are ages 3 years old to second grade to head out now to the Well Junior, and to whoever's doing the younger group, thank you so much. It's Benji's very first day, and I don't know how it's gonna go.
I just stole this from my wife, and just thinking, like, I don't think I've ever drank water out of a Tigger Poo and Piglet Too. Anyways, I'm sorry I'm leaving you literally high and dry now, but I don't think I'm going to make it without it. I thought ahead, and I had two things of water, and I've already killed them. Just real fast, yeah, Benji left and went to Well Jr. That was him. You probably seen him running around up here unsupervised, which is the story of most of his life. He is our fourth and final child, and I don't know. It's just kind of a crapshoot most days as to how it's going to work out. But I will take an opportunity, a point of personal privilege, to say how grateful I am for those of you who serve so diligently and faithfully to Well Jr. And other places as well. But I hope you know that, and I said this, I believe it was it last week? When did I talk? I talked about last week. How important it is, your investment in the lives of children. And so I trust that what Benji is learning back there is supporting and helping and working together with what Emily and I try to do in our home. And so with that being said, there's always an opportunity for you to find a blessing by volunteering with Well Jr. or other places. You can see Lori, you can see myself. We will get you plugged in. We put a post out on Facebook this week. Many of you, I'm sure, saw it and quickly breezed by. And it's okay. I don't judge you, at least maybe I do a little bit. But anyway, feel free to sign up. If enough of you would be willing to give a portion of your time, you would do it maybe six times a year. Like, literally, you would have to take it on wholly. And honestly, like, we would take just helpers right now who would come alongside other adults. And so, if that's you, do not leave today, because I can feel the Holy Spirit is guiding your heart to really step up and serve in that way. And I'm talking about you. So anyway, yes, that was my free plug, point of personal privilege. Now, we're going to move into the sermon. And today, contrary to what your bulletin might read, today we are talking about our relationship with siblings. And actually, when I first created this series some time ago, siblings wasn't in the mix. We had sort of laid it out with different relationships, but realized for many of us, so much of what we know and understand about relationships, we learned not so much through certain relationships. Like, it seemed like the sibling relationship was that which has shaped and molded us sometimes more than we're willing to admit or to own. And I began thinking, somebody brought it up in one of our creative meetings and said, why are we not doing one on siblings? I need some help on that, which I think was actually just offered up in jest, but we began to think through that and thought, you know what, it's not a bad idea to take a look at our sibling relationships and how that, number one, affects our understanding of relationships in general, but perhaps how can that guide us to becoming more like Jesus? And so hopefully today you will begin and I will begin to see how what the Bible might say about what it means to live in a relationship with a sibling, and more importantly, how that can translate then into living in relationship with our neighbor or those who are in close proximity to us. So if you're an only child, please don't check out. Like, it's okay. There's a ton to learn from this. Maybe you've had a terrible relationship with a sibling, and you're like, I don't even want to unpeel the scab off this wound. Just roll with me for a minute, because I think what we see by the end of this is a grace-filled offering from Jesus to be forgiven and to forgive and to love with reckless abandon those who are near us, and find the importance, maybe not within a blood relative, but to find the importance of having someone that you can love and do life with in a brotherly or sisterly kind of way. So if you're willing to run with that, I would appreciate it, and I believe that it will lead us all to a place that is actually helpful. And so I'm going to pray for us one more time as we get started, and invite God just to speak to us, to lead us, and maybe even change us a little bit. So if you would, join with me. God, we're grateful for this time together, for the people that you give us to do life with, and for the work that you're doing in our midst. Most of all, God, we're grateful for the grace that comes in Jesus Christ, who loved us despite ourselves, a God who laid down his life and showed us what true unconditional love looks like. And so now, Lord, as we open up your word to us, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would strengthen our relationships with one another, and that you would advance the kingdom through the way that we live and love each other. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, to kind of, the series is called Outward. And what we're doing is trying to look at how our relationships with other people, be it a brother or sister, be it a parent, or be it a child, be it a spouse, an employee or employer, perhaps an enemy, how can we, according to the teachings of Scripture, look at our relationships and improve them or make them better by, instead of looking so much inwardly, beginning to look outwardly. And what sort of drives this is initially is the conversation Jesus has once with a religious leader. And this has kind of been the guiding principle for this entire series. A religious leader, this is Mark chapter 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to Jesus debate. And he realized that Jesus had answered well. He had handled everyone's questions appropriately. This was in a time when Jesus was teaching. And so he asked, Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? And I don't know whether the guy really was trying to pin Jesus or he really was curious or kind of a bit of both. But Jesus replies and says, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God, or the Lord our God, is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important. So you ask for one, I'm giving you two. They both are equally the same. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now, I think Jesus was being asked to prioritize the law. Because in that, prioritizing, if you lessened one of the laws, one of the commandments, then, you know, he could have been labeled as a heretic. And he said, listen, so instead of sort of prioritizing, he just says, I'm going to summarize. And he says, it's very simple. You are to love God, and you're to love your neighbor, all the same. And as we see throughout Jesus' teachings, consistently, over and over and over again, Jesus equated the way that we love God through the way that we love and serve other people. How we treat other people has an effect on our relationship with God. If you were here when we opened the series, Larry Hilliard, my district superintendent, was here, and he explained to me the settings on your TV, and you got to get the horizontal and the vertical and all that right. And none of those things work. I mean, you know, it's a combination. And so, like, our relationship with Jesus, you can't have a functioning and working and loving relationship with Jesus while you hate your brother or sister. Does that make sense? You can't truly and honestly love another person in the deepest way without loving your Heavenly Father. There's always going to be something missing. There's a depth of love and grace, of unconditional merit and favor that we experience in our relationship with God, that until you've experienced that, you'll never be able to love another person in a way that is reflective of that until you've experienced yourself. It is impossible to love someone as Christ loves them until you understand the way that Christ loves you. And so it's this up and down and this outward relationship that is so incredibly important. And so when we're called to live in relationship with other people, we can't do it void of our relationship with God. Nor can we walk this road of, I'm going to live with Jesus, but I don't really want anything to do with you or him or her. And so it's this incredible up and out mentality. And so we want to focus our relationships on how are we looking outward. And so when we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, we read this, that the author of Hebrews is wrapping up this book of instruction, this book of details, and he says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And he goes on to give some details on how to do that, but there is a command that as you continue to live, it says keep on loving. In other words, it's a continual process. That if you want to be disciples of Jesus, if you want to follow in the way of the gospel, you have to continue loving each other as brothers and sisters. Not as husband and wife, not as friends, not as enemies, but to love as brother and sister. I find that interesting. And then also Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we read this. Finally, Peter, again, he's wrapping up one of his letters that he's written, and he says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. I don't know about you, but if the instructions of the scripture are to love as a brother and a sister, I grew up in the wrong family. You laugh because you did too, right? I have a sister. Her name is Beth, and she is actually just short, about 8 days short of being a year older than me. So we're right at a year apart. And then I have a brother who's about three and a half years younger than me, Dennis. And I could tell you a whole lot of stories about growing up with Beth and about growing up with Dennis and some of the things that we got into, each other's hair. You know, I mean, there was all kinds of, some of my biggest arguments and some of my biggest fighting and feuding happened with my brother and my sister, right? I don't know about you. You could probably tell similar stories. In fact, I tried to think of like what would be an appropriate story to tell right now, and I really couldn't come up with anything because every one of them incriminates not only them, but also incriminates me along the way. And so I'm sorry. We'll have to at least get out of the church for me to tell you all of the things that we experienced, and then I might have to blur some of the details for you. But growing up, the relationship, I still have an ongoing relationship with my brother and my sister. We talk on a regular basis. We see one another. I feel like have a decent relationship. We feel like we have an intimate relationship. I know what my sister is thinking. I know how she's going to respond. Like I just know her. My brother, same way. Like I can tell you what he's going to say. I could call him right now, and I can tell you exactly what he's going to say when he answers the phone. You could tell me a statement to give to him, and I tell you exactly how he's going to answer it. You know, it's that I know how they work. There's this shared relationship. But if my instructions of how to live the Christian life involve love each other, meaning the church, love each other just as you love your brother and your sister, there's something that just doesn't add up to that, okay? It just doesn't add up. But then the more I think about it, and I look at the church, and I realize, like, there's a sense of authenticity in my relationship with my brother and my sister. Like, there's not a lot that's hidden there, okay? You know, there's a lot about me that perhaps you don't know. There's a lot about you that I'm certain I don't know, and probably most of it we don't want to know about each other, right? But there's very little that my brother and my sister don't know about me, right? There's very little about them that I don't know about. There's this sense of authenticity that this is who I am, this is who you get, this is who we are. We're never okay with it. I mean, my brother's consistently poking and prodding at me about the things that perhaps disappoint him or frustrate him, and the same vice versa. There's a sense and a level of authenticity that comes with the relationship of a brother and a sister. But I think beyond that, and that's just my own experience, I think when we look at this idea from a biblical perspective, what does it mean to love as brother and sisterly love? There's actually a theme throughout Scripture. It's a type of love called phileo. That's the only Greek word you'll hear from me today. But it was brotherly love, brotherly and sisterly love. It was a familial type, or rather, it wasn't just limited to family. It was meant to be for friendship. In fact, when you see throughout the Scripture, let's just take for example. I believe it's John 15, chapter 15, verse 13. I think that's actually can be on the screen. We'll start. Where did we start that one? Yes. I have loved you. This is Jesus having a conversation. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love, talking to his disciples. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Again, Jesus is summarizing all of the commandments. I want you to love each other. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You've heard this before, right? You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. No, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. I want you to love each other. Jesus said there's no greater love than for someone to lay down his life for a friend. And you're like, well, I thought we were talking about siblings and brothers and sisters. Essentially, the definition and the context of this kind of love is a phileo love, one who would lay his life down, a friendship love. He says, I don't consider you, you know, we're not slave master anymore, we're friends. Jesus speaks of a relationship that's not, I said I wouldn't use but one Greek word, there is one more, agape, which is the unconditional love of God. And it's sort of a step beyond this phileo or this brotherly love, this friendship love. But this brotherly friendship love is far beyond what you and I would call friends, okay? Just because you have a connection with someone on Facebook, on social media, doesn't make you a friend, even though it might say you are. And even you, you know, if you've got somebody you have coffee with once a week or somebody that you do, you know, you live across the street from, they may be your friends, but the way that we're talking about friends here is someone who is close enough and committed enough to actually do life with you and to give of themselves for the good of the other person. In fact, one way to read it would be an emotional connection that goes beyond acquaintances and casual friendship. It is a deep and abiding brotherly, sisterly friendship love. This is who we're called to be as the church. When the author of Hebrews says, I want you to love each other like brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying essentially, the author is essentially saying the same thing Jesus says. There's no greater love than the one who would lay down his life for his friends. It's this kind of love and affection that hopefully deep down you do have for your sibling. Hopefully, deep down, even though they frustrate you, even though they have hurt you, somewhere deep down, the hope is that you love them in that way. And that it's a love that's not changed by what they've done, but rather it is built around who they are. Let me say that again, perhaps in a different way. This is a love that is built around not what someone can do for you or do for me, but it's built around the relationship that I have for them. I don't know about you, but I've picked most of my friends. I did not pick my brother. I was given him. I did not pick my sister. She wound up with me, okay? It's the way that it works. Like you can, anyway, that's the way that it works. And so this is a love that is based on position rather than performance. It's a love that's based on position rather than performance. And here's how I would illustrate this for you. Growing up, I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Charlie, okay? And Uncle Charlie, all right? And everything, he's that uncle. And I could probably just stop right there and you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Uncle Charlie, I don't think he worked a whole lot most of the time that I knew him. In fact, he learned how to get around. Like he sold old cars. He would sell. He didn't take time to crush all the beer cans. He just let another guy do that, and he took a cut. You know what I'm saying? He just took care of emptying the beer cans. Does that make sense? This is no lie. I pick on him. He's dead now. He would. It gets better. It gets better. Trust me. Uncle Charlie. He was smarter than most people gave him credit for. Have you ever heard the song Curtis Lowe? Right. Okay, yes, praise God. Everybody thought Uncle Charlie was useless. Most people did. My mom did not, okay, at all. He was her brother. Uncle Charlie would cut out coupons out of the Sunday paper that he knew my mom, you know, she used blue plate mayonnaise. He'd find a blue plate coupon, he's going to cut it out, put it in an envelope, right? Cut out, and he'd get a whole pack of coupons, and he would mail them to my mom. and put a dollar amount on it as to what he thought they were worth in cash value. And she could politely just put the cash in an envelope and send it back to him, right? Because he was hooking her up. Uncle Charlie was smarter than you thought he was, okay? And I could tell you many more stories that get really, well, anyway. But my mom, she was so much like her mother. Uncle Charlie was her brother. My dad got frustrated so much because my mom was always sending him money. She's always calling to check on him. She's always bailing him out over and over. He's in the hospital. We got to go help him. My dad would get frustrated. But I saw my mom never waver. Why are you doing this? Because he's my brother. I didn't pick him. I was given him. And there was nothing, I promise, there was nothing Uncle Charlie could do that would have kept my mom from loving him and doing everything she could to help him out. Not because he did right, but because that was her brother. Growing up, my brother and my sister frustrated me at times. Still do, believe it or not. But my mother instilled something in me, and it's this kind of love. That regardless of what they do or what they don't do, they are your brother and you're going to love them. That's just how it is. And so when we read in the scripture where Peter says, I want you to live in harmony and just be happy with each other, and I want you to get along and love each other like brothers and sisters. Well, guess what? In the church, we're going to love each other like brothers and sisters. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be what you might imagine it to be. Like everybody's holding hands and we sing Kumbaya every Sunday and we get along. Because we ain't. And some of y'all been around here long enough to know, yeah, it doesn't quite work that way. It doesn't quite work like that. But it is a love that is based on someone's position. And it's a love that we've been given a glimpse into from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who loved us so much that he gave his own life for us. Why? Because we're his children. Not because what we've done or what we've not done, but because we are his. We are going to love each other in the same way. I think when Jesus on more than one occasion summarized and said, listen, this is what I need for you to do for me, okay? Boil it all down into one, and it looks like this. I want you to love each other. You don't have to get along. You don't have to always be happy. You don't always have to agree. But what you have to do is to love each other. And I want you to do it with everything you have. I want you to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And I want you to love your neighbor in the same exact way. So what does that look like for us as the church? What does that look like for me and you? Well, first of all, for some of us, it means before you even get home today, you got to make a phone call to your actual brother or sister. And you've got some confessing to do. You've got some admitting to do. You might actually have some forgiving to do. They may have already confessed and admitted to you, and you're so hard-hearted and you're so right that you can't tell them that you forgive them. That was rough, wasn't it? The first is, many of us live in broken relationships with a brother or sister. Maybe you've got a friend who once was a brother or a sister to you, and things just didn't go well. If we're ever going to get it right in here, we got to start with it out there. And so it may be a phone call to that sister, that friend of yours, and you may have to say, hey, look, I really blew it some time ago. Or, you know, we've kind of grown apart. Well, part of that was I can't stand you and I hadn't called you in forever. I need to just say, this is what I'm feeling. What does it look like to reconcile and to restore your actual sibling relationship? But for the rest of us, for all of us still, beyond our sibling relationship, we've got to learn to love one another inside this building and beyond with that kind of love. With the kind of love that is based on the fact that someone is a child of God, not what they've done or what they... And it doesn't mean that you go out and bless what someone is doing or what they've done to you. It doesn't mean you open yourself up to more hurt and more pain. It doesn't mean that you become vulnerable to the point where it's dangerous for you. No. It is simply a recognizing that person who I have created and put into the image of a monster or someone that I hate, a demon. You got to understand that they were created by the same God that created you. That they were fashionably created in their mother's womb long before they came, began to breathe a breath. That they were created on purpose and for a purpose. And though their life may have become maligned at some point through sin and brokenness, they still are a child of God, and they still deserve the dignity of your love and your forgiveness. And so what does it look like? I believe that as the church, if we can figure this one thing out, I mean, I think it's pretty important. It's what Jesus said, love God, love neighbor. If we can figure this out, the entire world will change, and it will change rapidly. The city of Long Beach will be different than anywhere else. If just the group on this side, in this building, could learn to love one another as Jesus loves us, could change, could start a revolution. Your workplace could look totally different. Your marriage can look totally different. Your family can look totally different. What does it look like to begin to love the way that Jesus defined for us in a friendship, brotherly, sibling type love? Greater love has no one than the one who would lay his life down. This is my command, that you love one another. I hadn't planned on preaching this sermon this week, and I'm going to pick on my kids because some of them are still here. But I've not been feeling well most of the week, and so part of it is just my temper. I don't know if it gets higher or lower. I guess the threshold gets lower. I have a lower threshold of tolerance when it comes with sibling rivalry. And without throwing my kids under the bus, Emily's kids, they sometimes struggle. And I see my own self growing up in them. And so the greatest gift that I want to get, the thing I want to instill in them the most is that I want you to love each other. I want you to love each other. But I realize as I tell them that, so how incredibly difficult that is without the power and the work of God's Spirit in our life. Because what I'm telling them to do, I'm going in there looking at myself, I'm like, but what about this person? How do you feel about him? How do you feel about her? Like, how are you going to tell them that they need to shape up when you got to deal with your own stuff? And so my prayer for you, and mostly just me, is that this week, whether it be an actual sibling, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a friend, whether it be the person you're sitting with right now, that you would find a way, to love them the way that Jesus loves them. Not because of what they've done or not done to you or to somebody else, but because of who they are and whose they are. Let's pray. God, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you came and gave your life for us, Jesus. And while we were far away, you came near. And so, Lord, when we talk about what it means to love one another, it's such a difficult task. So incredibly hard. And yet, it's who you've called us to be. And yet, it's the kind of love that drove you to a cross, and certainly that was not easy. So why would we think it'd be any different for us? So come, Holy Spirit, remind us of the love that you have for us as your children. Remind us of the forgiveness that we first experienced at our salvation. Remind us of the hope of eternity, of one day being in the same place with all these people that we struggle to get along with. And give us grace that we might learn to love one another in true, earnest, brotherly love. That we might love those farthest from us in the same way that brothers and sisters get along. We pray, Lord Jesus, you would help us do that. There's no way we can do it on our own. And so we trust you. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
My love.
is yours. And my hope is in you only. And my heart you hold. 'Cause you made this sinner holy and holy, holy. And 'cause your glory is so beautiful, I fall onto my knees and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. 'Cause your glory is so beautiful.
Yeah. Let's pray. God, you are good. You are so good. And your glory is displayed from the heavens all throughout the earth. And we're so grateful that you call us beloved, child of God. God, we will never do anything in our power. There's nothing within us that can repay your love to us. And so, Lord, lead us to places where we can just receive it and where we can give it away to other people. Only if you help us will we ever be able to do that. Use us, we pray. Amen. Hey, I hope you guys have a great week. I'm going to invite Jenny Gates to come up real fast. Many of you know this is about the time of the year where we start advertising and inviting you to engage in community group life. And so for the last year, Hannah Halsey, who could not be with us today because she has started her new job in Ohio, sad, she did an incredible job of coordinating community groups, and Jenny Gates has stepped up in a really brave and bold way to lead those efforts. And so if y'all would just tell her thank you for the work that she is embarking on. And your applause means nothing if you do not give her a call this week and say, hey, I'd like to facilitate a group. No, seriously, we're going to have an announcement next week with some details of how to do that. But I just wanted you to say hi to Jenny. And is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, if I could just tell you real briefly about my experience last time leading a community group. I was so grateful that Ben mentioned it more than once, because the first time that he mentioned it, I felt that little tugging to step up and serve. But like I usually do, I squashed it down so that I didn't have to hear it anymore. And then when Ben mentioned it again, I really felt compelled to lead. And I was really scared to do that because I thought that it meant like leading people. But that's not at all what I did. What I was in charge of was I brought my iPad so that we could watch the video of Ben. And then Hannah sent us these questions that would guide conversation when there was a lull in conversation, which I never used because it was 9 women. There was never a lull in conversation.
I didn't say that.
But I'm so grateful that I stepped up because I met these amazing women that we did life together. And in 100 Sundays of seeing them and telling them, hey, you look great today, and I love that necklace, I would have never known how amazing they were. And now as I go through life, I strive to treat strangers like Carolyn Owens teaches treat strangers. Mm. And I strive to love my family like Mary loves her family. And I laugh with Jessica, and I want to treat my coworkers like Tricia treats her coworkers. And I got out of these relationships something that I don't get on Sunday mornings. I'm so grateful that I did that. I'm grateful for those women to do life with me, and I hope that y'all have that opportunity as well.
Absolutely. If you're in Jenny's small group, would you just raise your wave, yell, shout something? That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank y'all. Thank you. And there will be details coming up next week about how you can take on a similar role and rock and roll with it. So thank you so much. Thank you. You guys have a great week. We're going to be talking about husbands and wives next week, so bring yours.